and I'm standing next to a man holding the dessert tray. What's your name?
Phil.
And Phil, have you done this every year?
First time here this year, yeah. I've done it in the Vets Hall a few years back now. But
what do you make of, I keep asking this question, but first of all, the seating capacity is at least less than half that of the Vets Hall.
Right.
And the line doesn't exist out there. There's almost nobody there. Usually around 12, you get something of a line, you know. I don't see any line.
They've already put about 150 people through here.
But, I mean, people are not being rushed to get out of here. People are taking their time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, usually there's three or four times as many people, at least in previous years, at any, let's say.
They usually would have, the Vets Hall has it the Thanksgiving. But this year, I don't know what they did last year. This is the first year I've worked this program.
Right.
So I don't know where they had it last year.
Beth Robespierre.
Sir.
Merry Christmas from Santa.
Oh, ho, ho, ho to you, buddy.
Ho, ho, ho to you, too. Actually, you could pass for Santa yourself.
Oh, that's what they all say, except I'm a little too kind of gray. You got to be white like that guy.
Well, you just bleach it.
That's a possibility. Hello. You know, I see I'm going to steal one of those cookies is what I'm going to do.
That's what they're there for.
And we've been talking with?
Yeah.
Your name again is?
Phil.
Thanks, Phil. I'm Robert. So I'm looking over the population here, and I see mostly, well, I was going to say mostly older folks. I notice the older folks, certainly mostly white folks. So there are a few black folks and Latino folks, and some faces I recognize. Please, they haven't been shouting at me in anger. Some people have always had disagreements. I mean, there's Steve Plage. He's giving out coats to folks. A nice and needed gesture, not just on Christmas. It's really a scaled-down affair, and I guess I can't stop thinking of that. I apologize for being repetitious. There aren't the usual people rushing around picking up plates. There are a few folks in red Christmas shirts with hats who are offering bottles. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Bottles of water. But no pecan pie left, I see.
Well, it goes fast once it gets cold.
People want to come in and out of this area more quickly. Hey, I like your stuff in the paper recently. Thank you.
Sure.
With,
81.
What's your name, madam?
Melva. M-E-L-V-A. Melva. Only two of us on
the You got a walker full of stuff. You got a handful of a leftover ham. Where's the turkey? I don't know. You know.
No, this was good.
How did you... You get these meals regularly, right?
Yeah.
Every year you come to the Christmas meal?
No. No, this is my first time.
This is your first time?
Yeah.
Oh, well, welcome. You enjoy yourself.
You too.
Anything you want to say for free radio?
We got a new year coming.
Every time it
keeps
coming.
Every year we get a new year.
Except it looks like the old year. What can you do? You know, got to do something.
Well, you know what? Like I mentioned earlier, I would say, my body and my mind doesn't know the difference. Can't die yet, man. She's already said she's 81, so I guess I have to be till 81. I'm only 80.
You die when you feel like it, kiddo.
Is that the truth?
What's that?
Is that the truth?
Yes.
Yeah,
live as
I'm
long as you want
like
94.
I think I'll die when I'm 97, right? And I'm sure.
It feels good. Live it. Live it.
He was out on the beach, you know, with one of those Geiger counter things. Yeah.
I know nothing.
Yeah, he didn't
and
know
again,
he,
we've been talking with...
He didn't know he wasn't supposed to, you know, be alive and kicking.
Did you get your present?
I did.
Did you get your present?
I did. Thank you.
What about my present, Steve Plate? Ignore it again. It's from the street, Twinkle Toes, or Twinkle Head, I should say.
No, I'm an elf.
Elf? What's your name, elf?
Audie.
And Audie, boy, you look like you... You look more youthful than ever. And
what, I know. I'm a brunette now.
That must be it. You Miss Clairol, that's what you use?
I think it was Revlon, which I'm not using anymore because it made my hair fall out. But anyway.
What do you think of the quality of the food today?
Well, I'm glad there's some vegetarian food. Vegan, I'm not sure if it's vegan, but then the potatoes are yummy and the vegetables are yummy and the pies and desserts are endless.
Now, you're a regular participant in this kind of an annual event, right?
Yes, I was here last year.
Last year, where was it?
Here.
It was here last year. Are there less people here than last year?
Seems like it. A little bit.
It certainly seems less than Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I didn't go to that.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, the line was not as long outside as it usually is. Some people said that at Thanksgiving that was because they had faster service inside. But there were certainly more people filling the room.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe people are getting housing now. And
or maybe
I
they're
hope.
Just being driven out of town.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Well,
I just thought I'd show up because I work today and I'm going back tomorrow. They invited me for dinner, so I was like, oh, wait, I'm eating now?
So you're one of those outsiders who came to Santa Cruz to seize the food and services, eh?
Yes, and I'm a volunteer.
And you're also volunteering. Well,
yeah,
that's...
I'm volunteering. I'm taking a break.
You want to get rid of telling Valerie's outside.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you for your elfish activity. And I'd hug you, but I might be accused of sexual molestation.
And you would be.
Probably. We've been talking with...
Audie.
Thanks, Audie. With...
Hello.
Hello. And hello, what do you make of this compared with past years?
Huh? It's Robert. You know...
He's concentrating on his food. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Robert. Have some food? Grab a tray. Drop it in there.
Yeah, you didn't buck more
in. Down, down.
There
he is. Merry Christmas, sir.
Thank you.
Again, when I got the machine on, we're talking with
Brian Schulman from the producer of sorry, but
you can do it.
Hi, this
producer, but not the announcer, obviously.
Hi, this is Brian Schulman, the producer of the BTS Presents show at Community Television Santa Cruz. Hi, Robert, how are you?
What's going to be coming up on the BTS show in the next few weeks?
Well, you'll be pleased to know that we're in a new series of productions working on the Santa Cruz County and Silicon Valley Real Estate Show.
Real estate? I see why you're in a suit and tie.
Well, we're trying to look my best.
Have you been doing this every year, or is this a sort of a first for you?
The Christmas meal is currently at the Museum of Art and History. In previous years, it's been at other locations like the Civic Center or the Veterans Hall. Yeah.
Or Coral Street occasionally.
Possibly. Yes, actually, I did volunteer at the shelter on Coral Street last year or the year before.
What programs in the last year have you been particularly happy with that you did for community TV?
Well, last year I did a series of 12 shows, a half-an-hour episode of each of the city council candidates running for office.
And did your man or woman win?
Well, since I did every candidate got a show, yes. The one I chose
did.
Did
anyone a particularly more positive slant?
Nope, everybody got an equal share. We did the same host, the same spot, the same background. Everybody was equal.
I try to diss them all equally myself.
Well, I know that you have a different perspective than I, but it's nice to see you on this Christmas day, Robert Norris.
What do you make of this this year here compared with last year? I mean, are there less people here? Is it any different?
I think this year the weather is quite pleasant, so I don't think as many people are looking for a nice warm meal at this time of the day. But it's nice to have the trains running here in the lobby of the courtyard of the Marriott, of the Museum of Art and History.
Yeah, it's true. We got a huge... It's taking up half the room, actually. Anything you want to add for people to be aware of, either in terms of your work the rest of the year or just your thoughts, experiences you've had regarding folks outside?
Well, I know that Steve Plaich is one of the organizers of this meal, and he's running for county supervisor, so I wish him great success this year. And I see that you're wearing your bathrobe Bob, so why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on for you this year?
Well, the year is coming to an end. I'm trying to figure out what's happening next year, and it looks like the same as last year. That's kind of the... But we'll see, you know. Each day is another one, you know.
Well, we will see, and I look forward to seeing you in the near future. Nice to see you today.
You probably will if you ever return my phone calls or emails. That might happen.
Nice to see you. Happy holidays.
You too, Brian. The in the music section, out sort of outdoors, and tailing Dreamcatcher around in hopes of an interview. Dreamcatcher, can I catch you before you leave or not? All right. So you're you seem like you're in an irritable mood.
I'm very agitated, very agitated.
What's up?
This is the third time the Rangers have gone out and taken my stuff when I was doing a normal function, like going to dinner with my brother's wife's friend, just for an hour. I had a posted up guard paid in full. I said, if the Rangers come, they want you to move it, they want us to move it for me, okay?
What stuff are we talking about?
All my stuff, all my outfit, my bicycle trailer, my bike, my guitar, all my paperwork, all my art stuff.
Sleeping gear,
yes.
Survival gear.
Food, medicine, and they go out of their way. They know it's my stuff, and then they put it all in plastic bags, black plastic bags, and they don't tag it when they hand it off to somebody else. So there's no way to retrieve it, no matter where it is, even if I can identify it. They will not let me open that bag without ID. Where's my ID? Inside the frickin' bag.
Now, when did this happen?
Yesterday morning.
And where did it happen?
At the clock tower. And the one before that was at the vet hall on the vet's property. And I wasn't even, all they had to do was just push my carts out, two carts, roll it out to the sidewalk. That's all they had to do. But no, they took everything apart and put it in three trucks. I haven't been able to find a piece of it yet.
And that vet's hall seizure happened how much before the clock thing?
About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
That's the one we talked about previously, I think.
Right, and then one before that was at
Loudon Nelson.
I've only been following their instructions, and it seems like... I don't know what it seems like. I quit doing drugs before this started happening, so I'm very, very agitated.
Well, it sounds like you have reason to be agitated.
I don't have to be this inconvenienced. I don't inconvenience them at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I might make things a little nicer in some aspects, but they won't see that because the blind eye of justice sits in a room in
injustice.
A courthouse.
Injustice.
Yeah, it doesn't see who she's really defiling from Pacific Avenue. I mean, people go, wow, it just ain't the same without you, come down here, Dreamcatcher. I go, I know it.
So let's remind listeners that you've been given a court-ordered stay-away order from Pacific Avenue and the adjacent streets.
Oh, Jason, we're talking about five football fields. We're talking about Center Street, the other side of Laurel Street, the other side of the river, and the other side of water. I mean, that's...
And your crime has been...
I don't know what it is. It's just multiple tickets for a protest man, a protest and doing what he's supposed to.
The Freedom Sleeper?
Yeah, all of them. All ever since I've been here, since 08.
So it could be construed as a kind of...
Problem child, but I'm not.
I wouldn't say problem child. I would say, they would probably, but I would say...
Oh, and because I'm making them work...
In response to your political protest.
Correct. Protest against the wrong thing to protest against, which is the ones that protect all protests. Well, that's not a good thing to protest against. Don't protest against the police. They always win.
You protest against police misbehavior, perhaps.
Protest against police policy, but don't protest against police.
Individual.
Yes. Yeah, because there's some good people out there. I know they are, but they do their job well. That's why I can't take it personally. Because if I was a cop, people would hate me too. Just by talking to me.
Always be suspicious.
Always be looking for, some law they're breaking. What a time consuming. I'd rather get not paid and do something else than to get paid the most and do that. How's that for a phenomenal
radio? Sounds like a sane and a healthful notion, but that's for a different society, my son.
Well, I got sunshine in a bag. Well, I want to start a campaign. I want to get a camera going all the time with me. If I walk up on them, I see the behavior that they intimidate. Somebody that I hire, they know it's my stuff. Why do they do that? Why do they just go? They didn't tell me the day. Yesterday. They said everything was fine. Just don't, leave it here every day all day. I go, well, I'm only doing it. I'm getting my teeth pulled. I need my.
How is that coming?
Since they took my outfit away, I didn't get any sleep that night. I couldn't sleep because I was in the Salvation Army. I took a walk because I didn't want to cause problems because there was people in there causing problems. And then they banned me for the rest of the year by filling out
the rest of the year or the rest of the season?
Yeah, no, the rest of the year.
from
until January 1st?
Until they open again, for using their wording on their complaint, so I can come back.
That's right. You mentioned that. I mentioned that.
Right. And then the director says, no. If someone leaves, they got to go. She doesn't even know me. She's never met me. These girls liked me. I liked them. We were working together. Me and Squirrel were down there kind of like being cool. Everybody else was being cool, too. So whatever I do right, it seems to hurt and go wrong. I don't know which is first, though.
Anything happen in addition to this crap that you want to comment on? Like...
Yes, procedure on the dead person. Now that person was still, they were still beating on that person's chest when the ambulance showed up. They got out of this, they sat in the ambulance for a minute, took a couple minutes to get out, smoked a cigarette. Hey, this guy still, we still got a chance here, come on down here. Yeah, right. This is their attitude, smoking a cigarette, and then...
When was this?
This couple, last weekend, someone died.
Know the name of the guy?
His name was Steve. His mother's name was Rachel. Was a nephew to a friend of mine. So it was just an overdose. Kid was a little too anxious, just got out of jail, did too much dope. Witnesses tried to help all they could. It was a slow response. They didn't even put the alarm on. They drove up real slow, parked real slow, did everything real slow, like he was already dead. No, he wasn't dead when they showed up.
You were, how far away from him were you?
I was standing right next to him, watching him. Watching this. Yeah. I go, what's with these guys? We got a chick trying to drag him down there. And they're just like dragging leg. I couldn't believe it.
You have a cigarette to finish. I mean, come on, you got to show some respect for these people.
I do. I have a lot of respect.
But less after you saw this.
Well, I'm not sure. I have less respect for a junkie. There's 122 tents down there.
It sounds like the junkies were the only ones trying to help the guy. And people who are junkies.
Yeah, whoever hands them a needle or supplies drug.
The people who noticed he was dead.
Or the place are responsible. There's three responsible parties when someone
showed up. The people who showed up late didn't apparently take too much interest.
He was already dead when we called. No. No, when we see someone turning blue, we're calling. We're still 15, 20 minutes. I've seen it happen. Come back to life.
You're here.
And we didn't even need an ambulance that night behind in the ditch over here one night. We were all getting happy. I wasn't. But this kid showed up and thought he was in heaven and bliss. Well, he used a little too much, told the doctor that he, you know, was this, you know, and he wasn't. And there, we turn around and all of a sudden, hey, what's the matter with this kid? I don't know what's wrong. I don't do what they do, but I'm there. Okay, I'm paying attention to everything. I don't care what it is. I ain't looking for nothing except my... See if my fly's open or something. I don't know.
Or possibly see where your property is these days.
Yeah, and the property's in, goes to the middle of the street, everybody.
I'm going to leave it there, Dreamcatcher, and thank you for giving us the update.
I want a job. I need some resupply. I need a good sleeping bag. I need a bike. I did have a bike trailer. I might be able to retrieve it. I'm going to put the big order out. I want all my stuff back. They know where it is. They know what it is. And when they take it in, they say, this is Dreamcatcher's stuff. That's what they do, but they don't tag the bags. How can I retrieve anything that's not tagged me when they know it's me, but I got to prove that it's me with everything that they got to prove it's me inside that bag?
A continuing question. Callers with any suggestions, call 423-4833. Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
Well, let's make a movie. I'm ready.
Thank you, man.
I'm ready.
We've been talking.
The DC himself. Straight and honest and not drunk, never have been. And
doing security?
I'm working security right now at the Moz Theater, at the Moz Museum, and everything's going really cool. A lot of giveaways. I got everything but a sleeping bag.
Maybe you can get one of those. Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
Okay.
Sidewalk in front of the Moz.
Join hands. Start a love train. Love train. People all over the world.
sidewalk in front of the Ma entrance. We're listening to the music of Valerie Christie, our vision song Valerie, and Drummond Man, too, is drumming inside. Hey, Ricardo! And we also have Meriwether Mike, Kim Argula. About 10 people gathered out here separately but together, and the inevitable Santa Cruz police station wagon driving by.
First time with a ukulele.
Simple, very simple.
I've never seen a ukulele play like that. That's
right. I tried to make it enough of a rhythm so you could play, because as a drum, that was a drum song.
Man, I could play anything.
Tried to make it kind of drum sound.
Here with Jerry Henry. Do you mind if I interview?
No.
Not right now. This guy later, I'll tell you.
You're giving a bad name to the sidewalk with all this music.
Bad name. Yeah, I gotta go see my mom.
All right.
I'm sorry, I'm not
there.
I know. I'm going to go out here. But Corey will be home. Maybe you can get her to say the final.
Oh, good. The only place that's open is at Golden Palace now. And that's pretty crappy.
It's 78. Sing your motel with me. We'll have
I was expecting one of my children, you know, one of my babies. And my husband's on for the midwife. And in the time that there's gone after the midwife, the policeman come along. Come on, he says, get a move on. Shift on, he says. Don't want you on here, on my beat. So my husband says, look, he says, sir, he said, let me stay. He said, my wife is going to have a baby. No, it don't matter about that. He says, you get off. They made my husband move, and my baby was born going along. And my husband stayed in the road. My baby was born on the crossroads in my caravan. The horse was in harness, and we was travelling along the road, and the policeman was following us behind, drumming us off, and the child was born. Born on the crossroads.
Born in the middle of the afternoon, in a horse-drawn wagon on the old A5. The big 12-wheeler shook me bed. You can't stop here, the policeman said. You'd better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move. Shift.
Get that up, Mrs. and get the police out of here.
Born in the 30 left and time in an old bow tent near a tatty field. The farmer said, the work's all done, it's time that you was moving on. You'd better get born in someplace else, so move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move. Shift.
You stay in a place, they tell you to move on and you don't move on, they'll summons you. They say, why don't you go back to your own county? Well, what county we got? We got no county.
Born on a common near a building site, where the ground is rutted by the trailer's wheels. The local people said to me, you'll lower the price of property. You'd better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move. Shift.
So we pulled in there and we were there about a week, and they came back again, hounding us again. Move on. We don't want you here. Move on. I said, where are we going to go? He says, we don't give a damn where you go. He says, you got to move on anyway.
Wagon, tent or trailer born, last week, last year or in far off days. Born here or a thousand miles away, there's always men nearby who say, you'd better get born in someplace else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go.
move, shift.
It was a wagon and horse, and we were on the road when I was born. We travelled from pillar to post. Well, I meant to say I've been doing it all my life for 15 years.
I suppose practically the beginning of civilization we've been travellers.
The real tinkers, far back, you know, that after the Battle of Culloden and after Glencoe, the people, so many of them being murdered in the houses by the English, that hundreds and hundreds of them fled to the lowlands of Scotland. Well, they had no home, they had no chattels or anything with them. And they started to live out dugouts, you know, or into caves. Well, they became nomads of the road. McPhee, Stewart, Mackenzies, Macleans, every name you can get, the remnants of the clans of long ago. Our saviour travelled, didn't he, dear? Our saviour travelled. He was born in a manger among straw. His mother carried him in a little donkey's back. If it goes by the way of the world to the Bible, we must keep up that generation to the last of the world. It was the first of it or the last of it.
Born at the back of a blackthorn hedge when the white hoar frost lay all around. No eastern kings came bearing gifts instead. The order came to shift. You'd better get born in some place else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move, shift.
Our Lord travelled one time.
The winter sky was hung with stars, and one shone brighter than the rest. The wise men came, so stern and strict, and brought the order to evict. You'd better get born in some place else. So move along, get along, move along, get along, go. Move, shift.
It took them many years to get to this shore. They believe, from India. But my father's teaching taught to me from his father, my grandfather Wester, and therefore he would get it from his father, Tiso Boswell. And Tiso Boswell would get this information from his father again, which was Shadrach Boswell. If you refer to Genesis in the Bible, you will find Abram and Sarai at that time. And they didn't bear any children, those two people. But Sarai had a maidservant. And the Lord told Abram to go in the tent with the maidservant. And she conceived, it says in the Bible. And there was a child. Now, eventually Sarai became jealous of this girl and the baby and told Abram that she'd have to go. And, of course, she drove the servant and the child off. And you read further on that the Lord found her crying beside a well. And he put his hand on her head and told her to arise and she would go into a far country and she would accumulate a family or a tribe and they would deal in cattle and sheep and they would be a despised race. But they would be a clever race.
And that was Ewan McCall, the Moving On song, followed or preceded by the Christmas at the Museum of Art and History this last Christmas. So, much smaller affair than the Thanksgiving Veterans Hall meal, and that seems smaller than in previous years, so maybe people are just don't have the money to come downtown or too discouraged to come downtown. Or it's not true the homeless population has dropped, so it's kind of hard to figure what exactly is going on. And I mentioned before the reefer madness that retains its power as mythology and a lucrative operating system for police and other authorities. Here's an article in the San Francisco Chronicle from Saturday, December 30th. Pot truck bust signals legal confusion. 1,900 pounds seized days before new law takes effect. Only days before the sale of recreational marijuana is legalized in the state, the California Highway Patrol's bust of a truckload of pot from a newly licensed Mendocino County cannabis distribution collective raises new questions of what exactly the cannabis transportation laws are before retail sales become legal on New Year's Day. Actually, of course, what has to do with what the hell are police doing busting marijuana that is going to be legal in 2 days? I mean, it's just, sounds like a mean, a desperate, or a very legalistically clever move to rack up points which the voters have already turned down. Continuing with the story by Jenna Lyons, two employees of Ukiah-based Old Kai Distribution driving a Nissan box truck were stopped and cited by the CHP about 5 p.m. December 22nd. Said Matthew Mendelecker, co-founder of the organization, which has had a county distribution license since December 19th. They were pulled over because the truck's side running lights were malfunctioning, but the nearly 1,000 pounds of marijuana inside the vehicle led to an investigation. CHP called Mendocino County Major Crimes Task Force, which decided to seize the vehicle and its contents, said Officer Calvin Robertson, the CHP spokesman. Though transport of marijuana is currently legal, 1,900 pounds is an amount that could exceed the limits of state law, Richard Robertson said. Under current law, the amount allocated for transport must be under 28.5 grams for individuals. For providers, it's an amount that should seem reasonable to meet the needs of medical marijuana patients. Judge Rajaway, Joe Rajaway, an attorney representing Old Kai, the trucker company, said the amount was appropriate. The cannabis being distributed would serve hundreds of dispensaries and was going to be mainly used as oil for vaporizer pens, he said. What's their magic number? Rajaway asked. CHP doesn't decide how much is too much. They're not here to interpret the law. They're here to enforce the law. Rajaway talked with the county attorneys to negotiate a return of the cannabis, but was told the truck remained at the California Highway Patrol's Ukiah branch, and the marijuana was being held by the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office, he said. The next step is to reach an agreement with these agencies or file motions in court for the return of property. It would be an expensive loss, the attorney added. The 1,875 pounds of marijuana in the vehicle was collected from licensed cultivators of farms in the county. If it's not recovered, the farmers will bear the brunt of the loss. Despite the legal arguments, the marijuana remained in law enforcement custody Friday. Old Kai Distribution, a not-for-profit medicinal marijuana collective, argues it had a local distribution license and was legally transporting the plant in compliance with a county ordinance. But the CHP said the company did not have a state licensing, an additional requirement for transport that won't be rolled out until Monday, and was transporting an amount that raised legal concerns. The state's official authority, the Bureau of Cannabis Control, started an online licensing application system on December 8th. The licenses become effective Monday and last 120 days, at which point distributors need permanent licenses. Old Kai has already applied for a state license, Rajaway said. Under the Bureau's regulations, there does not appear to be a limit on how much marijuana distributors can transport with the new license. Mendelecker, the collective's co-founder, said his organization was complying with state law and a Mendocino County ordinance that granted a cannabis facility's business license for operations, including distribution within the county. We are asserting our rights, and we believe we have the backing of the county and are conducting ourselves in compliance with the county's ordinance, Mendelicher said. But it was a Mendocino County task force that seized the marijuana, which raised questions of just how much county support the collective has. Our fear is that essentially the law enforcement aspects of the county are not seeing eye to eye with the administrative aspects of the county, Mendelicher said. It's not clear whether the law is being violated, but the situation outlines the lack of understanding of the few regulations on the books, said Paul Amartano, deputy director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. If it was 19 pounds instead of 1,900 pounds, it might not have even become an issue, he said. But despite the confusion and local legal battles that still surround medical marijuana, which has been legal in California since 1996, Armentano is convinced that in a couple of days there will be fewer questions as to what the law is. To me, it's fairly moot, he said. Come January 1st, these activities are now going to be, for the first time, fairly regulated, or so he hopes. And that's, again, officer's bus truck carrying a load of pot in the Saturday Chronicle, 2 days before the official cannabis licensing for commercial licensing takes state effect, but after already county licenses have been granted and the state licensing has been applied for, and it's the medical marijuana distributing situation that's happening, not even a commercial recreational marijuana truck. It's just, to me, it's a rather disgusting example of not only how law enforcement authorities abusively treat marijuana using the toxic reefer madness mythology as their justification, but how newspapers confuse the issue and essentially whitewash these law enforcement seizures and abuses. And here's a story from online, December 18th. I guess it's a newspaper in the South, the SWC Sun. Not quite sure what SWC stands for, but it's called El Cajon Council Bans Giving Food to Homeless in Parks by Kathy Stiegel. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. Advocates for the homeless are protesting the El Cajon City Council's ban on the distribution of food to people camping in Wells Park and other public spaces. Tracy Hatch Deeks, the honorary mayor of the park, shows her amused friends how she scraped her foot in a skateboarding mishap. This is actually a caption of one of the photos in the story. Fears of hepatitis A spreading to the East County have led the El Cajon City Council to ban food distribution to the homeless on city property. City officials said the ban was an urgent necessity and insisted that it was temporary. Just hold on to your stomachs, folks. El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells said the ordinance will remain in effect until they see a change in the hepatitis A outbreak, which has infected at least 567 people in San Diego County and killed at least 20. It isn't clear how many have been killed in El Cajon or how many are sick there. Most victims are homeless men and women who health officials have said contracted the disease in areas with concentrations of homeless. El Cajon, here we are, has had 54 reports of hepatitis A infestation so far this year. Wells initially said he was willing to be interviewed, but did not return several calls to his cell phone over the course of 5 days. Opponents insisted the ordinance was cruel and targeted the poorest and most vulnerable members of society. Food sharing event means a non-social gathering that is planned, organized, promoted, or advertised where food is distributed for charitable purposes at no cost, according to the law banning it, the ordinance. And there's a picture of Lee Deeks and his dog Luna making plans for the day. Local activists fought back. Dashiell McDivish, a volunteer for the San Diego chapter of Food Not Bombs, said the event was a show of solidarity with the homeless community, not charity. McDivish has worked with Food Not Bombs for 7 years, he said, and called the ordinance an attack on the homeless community. It's a sad state of affairs we're in, he said. We're no different than any other homeless person here. Most of us are one paycheck away from this reality. SWC student Arantaxa Callies, 21, agreed. It's a transparent attack on people, Callies said. It's bullshit. No one should stand for it. Activists volunteering at the event said they knew they could be arrested. Some even volunteered to be arrested if authorities arrived and pushed back against the afternoon meal. Charles Akell, 29, a former SWC student and member of the Party of Socialism and Liberation, agreed. The ordinance is not a solution, Z said. It is a direct attack. Until this changes, we will keep serving food and resisting the city by performing a basic act of human decency. Then there's a picture of El Cajon porta potty leaking urine and fecal matter onto a park sidewalk. El Cajon police have set up temporary trailers in Wells Park following the protests. Those residing in the park say it is an act of intimidation and insist the city wants them out of the park by any means necessary. Tracy Hatch Deeks, a homeless resident of Wells Park, nicknamed the mayor, said authorities will ticket them for small inconveniences, then file restraining orders, sounds like Santa Cruz's stay-away orders, or have them arrested. She said she understands the backlash and why the community would fear having homeless people around children, but wishes they were not dehumanized in the process. They don't want us in the park, she said. I get that. But just because we're homeless doesn't mean we're brain dead. We still have a sense of what's right and what's wrong. Nathan, apparently the authorities don't, though. Nathan Davies, another Wells Park resident, said sometimes the volunteers bring food, but the police will not allow them to distribute it to the eagerly awaiting homeless. To watch volunteers take all that time to set up food and get ready to serve it, and then have the cops come and make them put it all away, it hurts, he said. A warning would have been nice. We have to find different avenues to make sure we actually eat now. Hatch Deeks said portable restrooms located near the temporary police trailer are as unsanitary as the established park bathroom is. Three portable restrooms smell of putrid fecal matter and one is leaking urine. They are clean, she said, but not to a sanitary standard. El Cajon Police Department officials were contacted for their request for an interview, but did not respond. That's a story from El Cajon. And I believe we're going to have some commentary on the San Diego situation in the next interview, which I'm going to play now, with activists at the Food Not Bombs meal yesterday, Saturday, December 30th, in front of the main post office. So after a little music, let's listen to that.
Watch the news and David Attenborough's programs keep us well informed about the sex life of the frog. But I confess I'm in a fog, for the public doesn't seem to be the public anymore. I used to think the folks you meet, the men and women on the street, the people you met going to work, were the public by and large. But that, it seems, has all been changed. Everything is rearranged, and what was once the public's not the public anymore. It happened very sudden-like when steelworkers went out on strike and the Iron Lady shouted,
"Shame, the public is betrayed."
Oh, here, the loyal henchmen cried while tears run down their old school ties. The puddlers and the foundry men weren't public anymore. The firemen were the next in line to be demoted, redefined. Newspapers call the firemen's strike a scandal and a crime. TV announcers rolled their eyes in disapproval, scandalized. And the firemen were not members of the public anymore.
public's going to suffer, cried a voice so loud and shrill. Like benches standing at the bar said, shoo-la-la, they've gone too far. And the country's public servants weren't the public anymore. When miners struck in 84, the air was filled with screams and roars, and backwoodsmen of Westminster were bellowing for the kill. Hang Scargill, he's a damn disgrace, expel him from the human race. And the miners were not members of the public anymore. Suffers, they are inconvenienced. But if miners, firemen, and the rest are not the public, then who's left? Is it possible that the public's not the public anymore?
And that's Public, Unpublic, another from McCall and Seeger's Items of News.
Environment now.
I'm down here and talking to a woman we've spoken to before. It's a Food Not Bombs meal, and it's about almost 5 o'clock on December 30th. And your comment when I came up was?
It's too cold.
And you are, of course, sleeping outside.
Yeah, I sleep outside, and I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. It's dark and cold, and the environment is really contaminated. You know, there's a lot of microorganisms that are, you know, contaminants.
How is your health? You seem pretty peppy, or at least you're
yeah, now I have some energy.
Upright.
Yeah, but it's sort of you know, varies the level of energy that I have, and of course I can't go very far with my bike and trailer, you know, without getting tired. And
you're sitting by a fence here that they set up to keep your ilk out. Of course, this little fence along here. How?
I think that a lot of the people that are on the street are, you know, there's a lot of prostitution, a lot of prostitutes, a lot of drug dealers that were...
Have you had any theft problems?
Well, I worry about it all the time, you know, so, but as far as the fence goes around the post office, it really has helped.
Really?
The environment, at least for me, because it was getting really crowded up there and people were being really noisy and being, you know, abusive to the animals, really abusive to the animals. And so I think it's actually better that they, you know, have the area fenced off mostly. If there's a person, like one or two people that maybe, you know, really need to, you know, have a place to sleep at night, and they sleep up, you know, right on the...
Do people still sleep here at night?
I see him every once in a while. Say, oh, there's a guy up there, you know, sleeping up there, you know. So it's like maybe one or two, you know, but not a whole crowd of, you know, prostitutes and drug dealers, because they don't need to be there. I think they have places, and I think, excuse me, they're faking to be homeless people to see what if they can vandalize, you know.
Do you have regular places you can go to sleep? Or is it kind of a crapshoot for you?
Well, it's hard because, you know, it's like it gets dark and cold, you know, real early. And if I think that if I go to the place where I usually, quote-unquote, camp, you know, the people that go past that place, you know, they won't like it. And I'm, you know, afraid that the police will come and say that they don't want me there. You know?
I don't want you to have to say where you camp necessarily, but are you, like, in the downtown area or in the outskirts?
I'm in the I camp in the downtown area,
Have you tried San Lorenzo Park?
I heard that somebody say that area was cleared out.
I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, but, you know, as far as I know, that, you know, most of those people are prostitutes and drug dealers, And they're, I think they want to take the government, you know, they want to take the government building, see what they can get and all that, instead of suing.
Now, I would like that, but I've talked to them, and they don't seem to be interested in taking the government. Maybe you and I could input them. Well, probably not.
Well, I think the, of course, the government's corrupt, but instead of adding to, you know, theft, they should, you know, sue.
If you can find a lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, sue, or, you know...
Has life gotten easier for you in the last couple of weeks or not?
It's
in the last month or two?
It's really life-threatening, you know, because it's like, you know, I go there, you know, I sleep at night and I get up and it's cold and dark and I have to go to the bathroom.
Do you have a tent?
I do, but it's an emergency tent only. So it's not, you know, like it's a tent that you could, you know, put up in the rain and the wind and all that and it would stay. It wouldn't. And, you know, I'm afraid to just, like, wake up. It's like, I have to hurry up and, you know, get all gather my things, you know, in case a ranger comes, you know, and gives me a ticket. And in fact, the last time I got a ticket, I was so upset. I says, I don't want to sign it because they're supposed to be good Samaritans and I am really homeless. So he shouldn't harass me or hurt me in any way. He shouldn't give me a ticket at all. He should, you know, say, well, you know.
What was his response?
His response was, he wrote me out a ticket. And he asked me to sign it, and I said, I don't want to sign it. And he says, well, if you don't sign it, we're going to have a police officer come out and arrest you. So I said, okay, I'll sign it.
Bullied you into signing it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he's supposed to be a good Samaritan. The whole, you know, government, you know, the whole town, they're supposed to be good Samaritans and help someone who's truly homeless. The rest of them, if they're faking it, see what they can do to vandalize.
A rosier view of them than I do, I got to tell you.
You know, they can, you know, zoom or put them in jail, whatever, you know.
What are you going to do about this ticket? Do you intend to, a lot of people just ignore their citations. Are you going to ignore yours?
Well, for two of the tickets that I got at the place that I'm camping now, I got documentation from the Superior Court of California and the County Court of Santa Cruz saying that I was supposed to pay them $321 for each ticket. And so basically what the government is saying is, you know, we made you homeless, now we want you to pay us for it.
Well, that sounds like the government I know and love.
Yeah.
So you have a very long bike trailer here.
Uh-huh.
Have you been able to maintain this in terms of keeping it safe, keeping it dry? Of course, it hasn't been much rain in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to, you know, keep things clean because the environment is so contaminated. Whether it's, you know, macro contaminants, you know, it's like dirt or whatever, you know. It's like, you know, I take my bike down the sidewalk.
Just dirty laundry.
In place, you know. So, you know, things, you know, get, you know, caught in my, you know, axles of my, you know, of my wheels and so forth. And I mean, you know, people are really yuck, you know, some are really yucky and they contaminate with, you know, potty and so forth, you know, their potty. And it's really, it's hard.
How is the bathroom situation here?
It's just really difficult because, you know, I go in there, I try to go in there before, the people in the office come in because I've been harassed by them. You know, you only have 15 minutes and blah, 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 blah. You know, where am I supposed to go to clean up, you know, clean up and to the levee or whatever? And I used to, I guess they used to have laundry vouchers at the food pantry up at Holy Cross. But somebody asked them for if they still had laundry vouchers. And the gal, one of the gals that was working there said that they don't.
Do you use St. Francis Soup Kitchen?
No, I don't. There's a lot of people from Pogonip, you know, drug dealers who go there, and they have unconcealed weapons on them, you know, and it became a real danger.
Shelter. You ever use the Coral Street, not Coral Street, but the, you know, the Association of Faith Communities winter shelter?
I got a flyer telling about winter shelter that was supposed to be at the Laurel Street Salvation Army place. And one night I was really stuck. You know, I went to my place where I usually go, and there were two police officers that came out. Are you going to be camping here? I was like, blah, blah. I was like, well, yeah, I don't have a place. He goes, well, you can't, you know, blah, blah. So I go, well, I guess I'll walk down there and see what's there. And there weren't any signs on the doors or windows about any winter shelter at all, and I knocked on the doors, and nobody answered, and there weren't any lights on at all.
Wow, interesting. When was that?
About a week or two ago, about 2 weeks ago. And then some guy came up to me, it was like a few days ago, and said something about, you know, such and such shelter, about the Salvation Army shelter. And I says, well, that was weird because I went there like a week ago, and of course it was at night, but, you know, no one even answered the door, and there wasn't any documentation about any winter shelter, but they had up documentation about their pantries, you know, and you know, when they're open, you know, for people to get, you know, food, fresh produce, if they need, you know, help, if they have a place already and they need help with, like,
so there was documentation for other things.
Yeah, but there wasn't anything about shelter.
Well,
anything about a winter shelter.
Interesting, because I mean, I've been told that it's open. I'm going to have to research this further. You know?
Research it.
And we've been talking with
Roberta Titus.
As ever. Thank you, Roberta.
You're welcome.
Any last thoughts?
No, I just like, it would sure be nice to have warm weather, warm sunny weather.
Have you been to the warming center at all, by the way?
I went there a few, I just like a year or two ago when they had it open, but they only said they had it open 2 days and they were closing it after that.
Yeah, I don't know how much it's been open this last year. Thank you, Roberta.
You're welcome.
From the street, we're talking with. This is for free radio.
Oh, no, I don't want to get into that.
What about you, sir?
The last time I left, the cops talked to me before and after. But that didn't scare me away. But I was just curious.
When was this incident?
Huh?
When was this?
Oh, two, maybe 3 years ago.
And that was, you got a good memory. Police haven't bothered you since? The police haven't bothered you since?
I'm not on their good list.
You've been naughty?
No.
You've been nice?
Here's what's happened. When I make complaints, they don't respond.
Can you imagine?
In many
our cases. Police department not responding to complaints? Well, I can hardly believe it.
I'm a disabled senior, and I've been put on the street a couple of times. One day, two car loads of policemen came out, and the new guy, shorter than the rest, substantially shorter, he says, wait a minute. He says, Ray's not the problem here. He's not part of this culture. Naturally, they're going to pick on him. When they try to attack him, he's got a right to defend himself. But there was
Mills, the police chief,
thrown on the street because I didn't have a right to get angry and beat the shit out of him. See this jaw, how it's twisted? I almost got killed with a kick real hard, like this, at the top of a stairway.
Wow.
Stuff like that I was going through.
So this was an officer who defended you?
Yeah.
That was the police chief? Or?
No. He was a new guy on the force. I've never seen him before.
That's a new rookie.
But I appreciated. He said, and the rest of the guys all agreed.
Right.
See? They says, yeah, they said, certainly you must have an empty room over there. He doesn't have to be out in the cold. And they found out my age. They said...
Are you indoors now?
Well, I'm still up in the loft there at the homeless center.
How is that going?
Not good.
Tell me what's good and what's bad about it.
There's too many chemicals that are killing people.
And how about lice and other pests? I've heard things about. I haven't heard anything this clearly about it in the last few months, but well, what's your report?
Today I say, oh, no, I want to catch up before it gets further on me. And yesterday something else. Tomorrow I expect that. There's still insects. I have an answer, real simple. I used to be an ozone technologist years ago in Michigan. If we had an ozone machine up there, and when everybody's gone in the daytime, you let that do the killing. No chemicals to hurt anybody.
How are the relations between the people up there? The individuals who are the clients? Do you know many of them? Is there any? Is it?
Oh, yeah. And I go out of my way sometimes to say... No, I heard that, and I know what you're going through because the same thing happened to me. I try to make them understand that some of us here give a shit. That we're not all trying to give people a hard time.
Now, how about the conditions there as far as getting up in the morning, the services, how are they?
This morning, I couldn't follow through today with the plans because you got to carry everything with you. You can't come in till the door is upstairs. It's unlocked. And I said, that's why I can't do my laundry. So many times I got to put it off, put it off, put it off. See, with prostate cancer, I have to wear a Defense, and then I
make... Take care of it.
Yeah, we'll see you, Tina. God bless you, too. But when you got that kind of pain level, and urination control is zero. See, and so if I drink water from now on, I'll be getting up every hour. And if I don't have my absorber set just right, I got a mess.
How long have you been in the, what is it, Pauli Loft?
Over a year now, probably about a year and a half. I had a full-blown heart attack while I was there and a stroke.
How did they treat you effectively in dealing with that?
No. Two sets of these.
You took out your teeth right now.
$50 for the whole set. Both of them stolen.
They stole your teeth?
I was trying to eat with that. It really is painful. But the insurance they have should say, well, here's $6,000, because your actual cost is only going to be $3,000, not $4,000. But it's a lot of money.
Are we talking about the homeless lack of services center? Are we talking about...
Yeah. Somebody stole my teeth when they were in a jar behind me when I was urinating on a sink over here.
Right.
They stole them. And by the time I come out, a whole lot of people up that early in the morning, nobody would agree to this all thing.
And you felt that they should have taken paid the expense the homeless lack of services in.
They got insurance for stuff like that.
Now, yeah.
How?
What's the average stay there? Because mostly they tell you, you know, is it you stay there until you get housing? Is it you stay there for 30 days? What's the deal?
Well, the exception, and these are just my words, if you're quite disabled, you're not being pushed as quick as somebody who is very, very able.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, now I became disabled about 31 years ago when I worked for Hughes Helicopters. At the time, I kept on going, but it was not easy. But here, after having the heart attack and a few things and some nasty falls,
How old are you?
78.
Still hanging in there.
Next month I'll be 78.
Going to give you the last word so I can roll.
The community needs to walk in. I'd love to see people at the higher levels come into the meetings on Monday nights. They're supposed to have meetings.
What are the meetings on Monday nights?
It's supposed to be to answer any questions, but it's such a roar of noise.
That's at the Homeless Lack of Services Center.
I can't hear what they're talking about.
Is it open to the public or just to the clients?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's enough of us right now to demand and say, that's the mayor, we want him to attend. He's been invited.
Can other homeless people come out and want to have a say? Or no?
They wouldn't let him in. Security controls all that. You know.
And how does that feel? Does that make you feel better or worse?
Well, I get along excellent with security. That's because I'm the guy that tries to solve the problems without arguing.
You know? Like the fence and the security or not?
Well, they like what I try to do to keep things going smoothly.
But what do you think of the idea of having a fence and security guards? Is that a good thing?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done that's not being done. And
Should there be a fence and security guards? Should there be a fence and security guards?
Well, security guards don't have much choices.
But should there be? Should they be there? Is the money better spent on something else, or should it be on a fence?
You have to have security guards.
You think it's important?
You have people coming in there with guns.
Have you ever been accosted with a gun? You've been accosted?
I've been cut. One guy that carries a gun cut me a couple places here in the hand. It's healed now.
How long ago?
Several months ago.
And was he charged with anything by the police?
No, they wouldn't even come out.
Did you try to call the police?
I wasn't allowed to get to the phone. The cell phone got stolen from me.
Is this in the shelter or outside?
Out of 50 reports that should have been made, maybe one was made.
And was this particular assault on you inside the shelter or outside?
Oh, inside.
About what time, day and night?
This was on the 3rd of January of this year, and it was at night because I had just got these. The newest set of teeth came in that morning, and out they came, and this is now all damaged.
You're pointing to your chin.
TMJ, you know, the jaw. It needs to be reworked. When I put the teeth in this morning to try it, because I haven't been able to use them, I said, oh my God, it's still painful as hell.
And we have been talking with?
Ray.
Tang, of course.
T-A-N-G-U-A-Y.
Thanks, Ray.
Okay.
No. I'm talking with, should I say who you are or not? Mind if I say who you are? I'm talking with an anonymous camper here who has been in the campground in San Lorenzo Park for a couple of weeks, and he tells me things are continuing. His stuff hasn't been taken. He lives alone in a tent there, but there are some problems with the campground that he's noticed. If I'm interpreting you correctly, do you want to put that for us or not?
Just trying to respect each other's boundaries. Like, we have all grounds from different corners planted in that box, and we're supposed to get along with each other and trying to respect each other's boundaries, but there's too much theft, and how can we respect each other when each person is stepping on each other?
And is that because people are kind of cramped together? Is it because of
it's not
too many people wanting the spaces? I asked you before if spaces are opening up or not. I mean, do people come and go so that there's new spaces or not?
There are spaces that come and go, open up when opportunities are available. If one person moves and another person comes in, I've seen that done, and I've gotten written up to as well. You know, I was told, and I'm not there. I don't stick around to see what's happening over there. I have too much to take care of.
You also mentioned that you haven't heard from the Rangers of any exit date for people.
No. They're following the rules and the regulations of what needs to be done. You know what I mean?
How are trash pickups and toilet facilities?
They're all right. Everybody's working it out with each other, you know. And they put it out. You know, each one carries their weight as well, you know. And I respect that. But
how are the Rangers treating people?
Rangers. Sometimes it's a good morning. Hey, Ranger, danger, get the hell out of my face. But we'll do fine.
Any final thoughts, Sonny?
Hey, let's all try and get along this new year, and hopefully everything works out for the good instead of the bad.
Thanks. Passing the fence here. Don't fence me in, says the sign. It's also... This is the fence around the post office. It's regaled with all kinds of Christmas cards, several dozen. And the fence around the post office on the Front Street side is a little sign, don't fence me in, and lots of small Christmas cards. The stable is here as usual. Folks are poring over the literature. And Keith is here with his walker, and there's kind of folks clustered around.
This is Elise Casby, local activist.
And sometimes a Berkeley activist.
Sometimes. More a few years ago, but yeah.
Sometimes a low-profile activist. Are you homeless, Elise? Tell me the truth.
No, not right now. Not homeless.
Oh, dear.
Well housed for a long time at this point. But, hey, I wanted to talk about... I think you might all remember Measure D.
Remind us.
Measure D was a supposedly regional-wide controversial measure that would fund different modes of so-called environmentally friendly transportation in the area. Things like the rail and trail, things like a little money for the bus company. And that's where I want to focus.
Highway widening.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Because that's actually really important. So, turns out that Measure D, which...
Good luck!
Many of us might know, was heavily funded by certain very mainstream groups, including labor, as I found out, really wasn't the truly environmental measure that many of us hoped it would be. We had a big fight in 2016 with the bus company, and I was very active back then, and I was working to keep bus routes from getting cut. So I found out a lot about our bus company, and I just think it's interesting, okay, that in the past couple of weeks... John Leopold, who I
supervisor.
Think, yeah, I don't like John Leopold because I find him to be a sellout when it came to
John a sellout.
Yeah, total sellout when it came to the environment. He was posing on the front page of the Sentinel with David Terrazas.
David Terrazas, my favorite mayor.
Not going to say anything right now about David, but anyway, David wasn't involved in a big scam that happened with our bus company, which is they hired a guy who's really very anti-public transportation, that being Alex Clifford, to be the CEO of the bus company. Alex Clifford left Illinois in shame because he ruined the bus company in the town where he worked. It was hard for me to get further information, but I did find out that the place where he had been, similar, CEO of a bus company, a lot of the people who actually take the buses there felt that he was terrible for their little domain, their town there. Anyway, he comes here, I think it was Dini Pustici on the Metro board, mainly, who made sure. But this is all, you know, just kind of like superficial level research, starting to get deeper in terms of who actually was responsible for hiring Clifford.
Is he still the CEO?
He's still the CEO. The first thing he did when he came to town in 2015 was cut the paratransit. So the people who need the bus the most, the people in wheelchairs, the walk, people who walk with illnesses that are difficulties or handicaps, whatever word you want to put it, who are challenged to even get to a bus stop, he cut their stuff first. So he brought people with him. It's all a big scam, basically. And I want people to understand that when John Leopold, who was on the Metro Board, who may still be on the Metro Board, who was responsible for making sure that our bus company, which would have been a fantastic way to really protect our environment, was to put more millions of dollars into the bus company instead of this highway widening, which is just going to ultimately create more traffic. It may create some fairly short-term jobs, which is one of the reasons I think labor may have been into it. I'm not going to name names with the certain people.
Oh, feel free.
No, not going to do it. I want to focus on one name, John Leopold. That guy, the fact that he's suing some fossil fuel companies, okay, that might be nice. Good for him. But we had our chance in an age when we are deep into the results of climate change, deeply, we're already there, deeply and profoundly into the age of consequences. We needed John Leopold and the other politicians, Rodkin, Bustici, who I think should be completely, he should be removed from the Metro Board. That guy is not in favor of public transportation at all. But John Leopold sat there. His hair was perfectly coiffed, by the way.
There you go.
Remember that?
Well, what more do you want?
You look marvelous, John. But in terms of being a true help to our community, I feel like the whole thing was basically, boy, we got to make up for one of the biggest mistakes we ever made. So many of the groups that were behind that Measure D, such as Ecology Action, is funded by PG&E. Now, the real environmental group in that whole mix was the Campaign for Sensible Transportation. Like us, the Bus Riders Association, many people, we really wanted to see more money going toward what we really need, which is more buses. The students are crammed on the few buses when they're in session. A lot of us lost our bus service. The people who are also often handicapped and can't walk or in wheelchairs out at the homeless services center, they have no service on the weekends. So if
that's fitting for the homeless lack of services center.
Thank you. And Alex Clifford and the Metro people and the Metro Board just made that worse. And they claimed, and here's the clincher, Robert, they claimed the whole time this scam went down in 2016, oh, we don't have the money. Oh, we're so poor. Oh, we can't get money from the feds anymore or the state anymore. Well, guess what? Somebody, whoever's responsible, put together the grand jury investigation of our bus company. And I think it might be, you might be able to find this if they still have it up on the Metro website. It was an investigation, high-level investigation, and they definitely found out that the whole thing about the money was basically not really true, not fully true anyway, that there were many grants that Alex Clifford and his buddies never went for, don't intend to go for, other towns our size go for and they get. And so he made sure the bus drivers got kicked back. They lost a lot. A lot of them took early retirement. They got a
kicked back, but not kickbacks.
The word is kicked in. The bus drivers kicked in their fair share. Alex Clifford just got a big raise. So the reason I'm framing this in terms of Leopold's recent picture on the front of the Sentinel is I want people to realize that right here in our town, right now, and what we did in 2016, we have to be much more politically savvy about what really benefits our community in terms of getting away from fossil fuels or not, what measures we're really funding, and especially what old-style conventional reactionary politics who might want to pretend they're really forward-thinking Democrats, like John Leopold, are really about. And I'm really sorry for David Terrazas that he posed for John. I think that's going to be a strike against him because as far as I'm concerned, John Leopold handed this this community a disaster dressed up as an environmental measure.
Well, measure did Micah Posner support that?
Micah Posner, I don't know. I don't.
Former
honestly,
council member.
Yeah, I don't know. He was not on the Metro board, but I would think that Michael probably did not, but I honestly don't know. One thing I can tell you is that John Leopold did, and he should not have, and he needs to be held accountable for that because what he gave us is more traffic, you know, a few jobs for a short point in time, and the labor union should not have supported it either. And I want to ask the community, how long are we going to get tied up in these really weak, even false or faux environmental measures when we could be doing the right thing, which is really developing an effective and efficient public transportation system.
And we have been speaking with or listening
Thank you.
To...
Thank you very much. Elise Cosby. I was the founder of the Bus Riders Association.
Are they still in existence?
Not really. We were more or less, we threw ourselves up to try to protect the bus company, but we could come back together in the future. And I want to thank my other activist friends, Zav Hirschfield, Ernestina Saldana, Pat Mallow, Mauricio, and others who really helped us do that. Dan was a bus driver who helped us. And we were one of the reasons and a lot of the community really did come out and oppose those bus cuts on their own without any organization. And that's what we need to see more of.
Thanks, Elise.
Thanks.
That great author, Keith McHenry.
Keith, what article are you beginning now?
Oh, I'm doing another one on...
Robert Morbutt, your favorite guy.
Yeah, Morbutt. Actually, Morbutt came up in the media recently again.
I saw that, yeah.
And a couple places. There was a new one today I saw on Facebook.
He's the man who wants to drive the indoor food server or outdoor versus indoors.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, there was actually, oddly enough, a Associated Press article that was picked up a lot of places, including in the Sentinel, about the efforts to stop Food Not Bombs in different cities.
And other food servers.
And it referred to the Atlanta ticketing and interviewed the woman, Melanie, that was ticketed there. And also the Fort Lauderdale Food Not Bombs case in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. I thought that was interesting.
And the dire predictions you've had about possible attacks on Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs have not come to pass, correct?
No, it's really frustrating, yeah. They don't
How
know
are you going to fight something if they won't fight you?
Yeah,
now, come on.
They're like not fighting fairly. In fact, they're not even fighting.
It's
like
kind of sad.
Yeah, what are they, intimidated?
What about the people in the condominiums? Are they coming out and throwing spitballs at you?
No, they seem to, I don't know, I haven't done a Public Records Act request recently, so I don't know what the level of...
You're just getting bored of the whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
I see you were having merry conversations earlier with some passersby.
Yeah, there were some nice people from Montreal, actually, came by. Or
kind of cold up there, I hear.
And they were talking about how they met us in Montreal, and we're surprised to see us here. That was really good. And, yeah, so...
Why aren't you feeding in San Lorenzo Park?
Because this is where a public place... There you go. Thanks, man. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Thank you, sir. And Keith just received another donation.
So, yeah, it's a... the people from San Lorenzo Park come over here and eat. And... It's a vacation from downtown.
What do you hear about San Jose Park?
Well, I did talk to Billy today, and he got kicked out of the bench lands for 5 days.
For
not moving far enough out of the way. He was told by the Sheriff's Department that they could move up under the Water Street Bridge during the rain when they're doing the cleanup of the bench lands, and so he did. And then the Rangers came and saw him there and started hassling him and gave him a five-day stay order from the benchlands. So then he moved.
Under the bridge is not the benchland.
No, I know. He was sent there by the Sheriff's Department from the...
So wait a minute. So the not the deputies, but the Parks and Rec gave him a citation under the bridge, and then gave him a stay order from the Benchlands?
Yeah, for 5 days, yeah.
It sounds peculiar. I mean,
well, that's what Billy said. And then he's over, like, on the parking lot by Broadway in the back of the Indian restaurant. And he said he got harassed for his stuff touching the grass, so he had to move everything onto the sidewalk. And then the ranger said, well, we can't bother you on the sidewalk because you're not on the grass or something. You know, he's giving me a whole... He was really upset about the amount of...
Well, it could be that
he
earlier had a ticket in the Benchlands for some minor offense that gave him a 3-day stay away. Then, within the next week, he was under... Under the next 3 weeks, he was under the bridge. He got another ticket. And then he got a ticket that for that would be for a 3-week stay away, but it would include the Benchlands, even though the second ticket wasn't there.
Right, right. That's yeah. It was at, like so. Now he's got a whole operation over on off of Broadway and underneath that bridge. So
he's expanding his fleeing from place to
there.
Yeah. Are there other communities that you're aware of that are popping up around town?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people are not being bothered in the doorways when I walk down Front Street or Pacific late at night, particularly in the last block from Laurel this direction. There's like people in almost all the doorways at night on both Pacific and Front. Then there's a lot of people sleeping in kind of areas near the levee behind the Warrior Stadium. There's a whole like communities of people up in that area.
Have they broken into the porta potties?
No, I don't think so. And then a lot of people, when I walk across the different bridges, you see people, little camps all along the river, which I haven't seen before, right by the water. So, that's interesting.
And
that seemed like a lot of, you know, particularly in the early in the morning when I'm out walking around downtown, there's a lot of people on the streets wandering around.
Now, you say walking, yet I notice you still have your sort of wheelchair-ish walk-along.
My four-wheeler, right?
Four-wheeler. Now, are you recovering from the surgery?
Oh, yeah, the surgery's doing really good, yeah. In fact, I was so preoccupied by my flu that I almost forgot I had surgery.
Your flu has come and gone?
Yeah, so I'm hoping it's the end of it now. Yeah, it's been a drag.
Well, I'll just take it with me then, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been, yeah. There's a really interesting video. I think the videographer could have done a little less speaking, but I was very impressed by the San Diego Food Not Bombs and their resistance to the police and
recently,
yeah, last week, and so the police, a lot of police showed up to their meal, which was maybe 20 cops, maybe less than that, maybe it's something. It might have even only been 12 cops, but it was a lot of cops, and they handed out information and told everybody that they would no longer be allowed to share food in the park, and so now they have was a really good pushback. They weren't, you know, they didn't yell at the cops or anything, but they were like, made it clear that, no, it's a, you can't, you know, we're just sharing food with people. And then somebody said, oh, well, why don't you call it a picnic? Because there's a sign saying picnic or birthday party or something. Said, no, it's, we're feeding our friends and they live on the streets. And the purpose of this law is to keep people who live on the streets from eating. And we're very upfront about it. We're feeding people.
No, it's to draw them to social services so they can be given housing, medical care, and ointments for their skin.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Though, it's funny how that none of the cities actually ultimately do that when...
they're trying hard. They've invested millions in this whole thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, well, look how well they're doing here. So they were like making it really clear. So they're risking arrest, and I think they don't do their next meal for whatever reason until the 26th of January. But they have a legal support network. You can sign up, to be like a observer. You can get yourself arrested. You can go and participate in, you know, preparing to be arrested.
Just like in the good old days.
Like in the good old days. It's really great. And I have, like, what's wonderful is how militant the whole thing is, relatively speaking, without me having to encourage
model
them.
For that.
and the same thing happened without me having to talk to people in Atlanta. Really good. You know, the interviews and everything by activists in Atlanta when they got ticketed and all that was really solid. It was really
now, what are these rumors I hear about you and Andy Mills having an affair?
No.
No, that's not true? What, are you homophobic?
No, I just, I don't want to have an affair with anybody.
I don't.
No.
You've been burned?
Not by you, not by anybody.
Listen to him. He's getting a little defensive here, folks.
Did you hear about La Posada and Sanctuary's beautiful event?
I actually drove by it as they marched toward the Calvary Episcopal Church a few days ago.
Well, I just want to say it was a really, really successful event. And it brought communities together from all sides of Santa Cruz, especially the community that's kind of defending its life over in the...
We're talking about people fighting the immigration nonsense.
Yeah, ICE fighting, you know, the deportations, which are basically a way to just cart people off to a jail, a new kind of jail, and the, you know, the raids. And they're the people, help me out, because I haven't been around Santa Cruz too long. It's right near the boardwalk. What's the name of that little... It's the Beach Flats community. Shout out to Gabby and all and her relatives for doing that, and the people of Sanctuary like Jim Weller and Desiree and Vicky, who put together this incredibly beautiful dinner. There was a great band. It was super fun, and it was wonderful.
That's good.
Yeah, and we celebrated Las Posadas.
And regarding ICE, so you may have seen my attack on, or my concern about police department collusion with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security and... various concerns about the SCPD, which I forwarded to our friend Andy Mills.
Oh, I didn't read. He sent a very long thing, which I didn't read.
But. Yeah, he was responding to my concerns. I should say he was not responding to my concerns, but he was giving a verbal answer to each particular concern.
Oh, okay. Well.
So I expect you to pore over that, parse it carefully.
Oh, my God, that reminds me. I have a lot of work.
I better let you get back to it there, Keith.
Yeah, because, I don't have access to internet, so I always have to walk to town to deal.
That's good for your health.
And, and then I always forget when I get to bed, like, oh, darn, I forgot to do everything.
Yeah, well, you're...
Dubai, there's some kids in Dubai starting to put out bombs. That's cool.
I'll grab a plane and see if I can give them a congratulations.
That's really hardcore.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Tired. Yeah. Trying to get a show out for tomorrow, which is going to be hard. But.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that'll
Everybody
happen.
Come to DIY tomorrow.
Ah, yes. There's a DIY parade, which should be happening, folks. When you're listening to this broadcast, it's happening Sunday night on the 31st at and across from the Saturn Cafe. It's a march down Pacific Avenue where it's organized completely by the community.
Yeah. And,
it has no police.
In the old days, it used to be illegal.
And police will be surveilling it, perhaps. And maybe Andy Mills will join the parade.
He's going to lead the... He never did respond to my last email, which is like 3 months ago, so...
Well, try again.
I don't know. I don't have the energy to...
He did respond to Steve Schnarr's email. Steve Schnarr wrote an email. Actually, he posted a story saying, what are you doing endorsing the Martin Luther King Day celebration? When King was concerned with a whole bunch of issues that Santa Cruz police don't seem to be too active around.
No, that's really a good point. Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? But, that reminds me, I feel really bummed that I didn't have a camera at the time, but one of my Food Not Bombs drawings was taken by the San Francisco Police Department and put... used as the advertisement for a peace march, which was a anti-gang warfare march, and they whited out all the words. I had free radio and stuff on it, and they whited it out and put cop stuff and everything, and it was on like the
how long ago was this?
This was like in the 90s, and it was like in on the billboard, like all the bus stops, you know, so it was pretty big, and I'm seeing my drawing, and they whited out my name on the bottom, and I thought, what a crazy thing. And now I really regret I didn't take a picture of that. That was like...
And you could have also copyrighted it and sued them and made a million.
No, more it would be just cool for a story, you know.
Indeed.
You know, what do I care?
Indeed. Well, as you've always been.
Yeah, those are for anybody that wants to eat for free.
I think we're going to leave it there. We've been talking
with... And Keith with Food Not Bombs. And I don't know how many people we have till more, but... Can't read this.
Your little clicker, is that want me to try to read it for you? I don't know. he's going to determine how many people actually ate food. 150 people today at the meal. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks. Have fun.
Thanks. Woo. Thanks, Elise. Okay.
Up a newspaper, every time you switch on the TV, you can bet your old boots that at some point you'll see a high-ranking copper or Tory MP calling on all who are British and free to stand up and defend law and order. It's illegal to rip off a payroll, it's illegal to hold up a train, but it's legal to rip off a million or two that comes from the labor that other folk do. To plunder the many on behalf of the few is a thing that is perfectly legal. It's illegal to kill off a landlord or to trespass upon his estate, but to charge a high rent for a slum is okay. To condemn two adults and three children to stay in a hovel that's rotten with damp and decay is a thing that is perfectly legal. If your job turns you into a zombie, it's legal to feel some despair. But don't be aggressive, that is, if you're smart, and for Christ's sake, don't upset the old apple cart. Remember, the boss has your interests at heart, and it grieves him to see you unhappy. If you fashion a bomb in the kitchen, you're guilty of breaking the law. But a bloody great nuclear plant is okay, though plutonium processing hastens the day when this tight little isle may be blasted away. Nonetheless, it is perfectly legal. It's illegal if you are a gypsy to camp by the side of the road, but it's proper and right for the rich and the great to live in a mansion and own an estate that was got from the people by pillage and rape. That's what they call a tradition. It's illegal to carve up your missus
or put poison in your old man's tea,
but poison the rivers, the seas and the skies, and poison the mind of the nation with lies. If it's done in the interests of free enterprise, then it's proper and perfectly legal. It's legal to join a trade union, and to picket is one of your rights. But don't be offensive when scabs cross the line. Be nice to the coppers and keep this in mind. To picket effectively, that is a crime, worse than if you had murdered your mother. It's legal to sing on the telly, but they make bloody sure that you don't. If you sing about racists and fascists and creeps and thieves in high places who live off the weak and those who are selling us right up the creek, the twisters, the takers, the con men, the fakers, the whole bloody gang of exploiters.
And that was Legal Illegal again, by Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger, an old favorite of mine. That does it for the updates and for the current edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Now we're going to kind of fill out the rest of the time, or begin the afternoon, with a Thursday, April 25th, 2013 flashback. And there's lots of stuff on that show, Some of it is, I'm going to read through some of the description I wrote about the show 4 years ago, shortly after it aired. We'll have Cody at the Visible Sleepers protest from April 21st. Commander X calling in very briefly. There'll be a Santa Cruz 11 update. On 425, there was an interview with 70-year-old Barbara Feldhaus, whose ankle was broken by the SCPD as they took her down after she'd stolen a ring specifically to go to jail after harassment under the sleeping ban. Then there's me talking about the 423 City Council meeting that laid a curfew on the Cowell Beach. There's commentary on the April 24th Homelessness Forum, the passage of the California Homeless Bill of Rights through the Assembly Judiciary Committee, which unfortunately I don't think got much further than the Assembly. Actually, not much further than the Assembly Judiciary Committee. Councilwoman Comstock walks out of City Council. The part two of the Peter Weiss's The Assassination and Persecution of the Marquis de Sade, as performed by the inmates of Charenton Lunatic Asylum, shortly known as the Marat Sade. A vigilante's assault, Gabriel Schwartz. There's a recreational vehicle dweller and terminal cancer patient on the Capitola camping ticket that I believe it was a man or a woman who got that ticket. And then Brent Adams mentions what I talked about earlier in this broadcast, Officer Vasquez's brutal treatment of Richard Hardy. And that's it for this April 25th, 2013 show. But you can also review it and other shows on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org if you want to go there. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Next regular edition of this show is Thursday at 6 o'clock. We'll see if it makes the cut and gets into the can. In the meantime, stay warm.